12, verse 23. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone." Think about that. There's a lot written in just that one verse. It remains alone. Unless it falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. Now, Jesus was talking about His time that has come. But let me tell you something. Everything that applies to Him applies to us. Unless this grain falls into the ground and begins the death process, it cannot germinate. It cannot produce a leaf. It cannot produce a stalk. And it cannot produce fruit, an ear of corn, souls. And if it doesn't, it remains alone. What do you mean alone, Pastor? What do you mean by that? When you get to heaven, you'll make it to heaven, but there'll be no fruit laid up to your account. Alone. Without fruit. Without reward. See, we've been brainwashed. I'm just going to use that. We've been brainwashed into thinking that salvation's it. Boy, glory to God, I'm saved. I feel good about God. I'm going to heaven. And we've been brainwashed to think that it stops right there. I'm a good person. You know, I know Jesus. You know, and I'm going to heaven and it stops right there. Folks, that is the beginning. The Word of God talks all throughout the Word of God about reward. Crowns of righteousness. Crowns laid up in heaven, fruit to our account. Paul said, "Man, I am so glad this is Oklahoma talk. Man, I'm so glad that you met my need, you all. I'm so glad that you met my need, you all. But let me tell you something. I'm more interested in the fruit that's laid up to your account by the fact that you gave at the right time. Whenever the time came along, you recognized it as an opportunity and you gave. And I'm more interested in that fruit laid up to your account." And it talks about stuff like that all through the New Testament. Folks, it's just a start when you get saved. "Well, I'm saved and I'm sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost." Yeah, and if you don't do nothing with it, it didn't do you any good to have the Holy Ghost other than keep you saved, maybe. So Jesus said, He said, unless a fruit falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Man, I love that verse. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Do you want to be where Jesus is? That's the whole key to that verse. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. And we're going to talk a little bit along the lines of serving this morning. This is just kind of an opener, you know, to get your attention and get you out of the world and out of the cares that you brought in with you this morning and had trouble getting the kids ready, or maybe you had trouble getting your husband ready, or maybe you had trouble getting your wife to even come with you. "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And of course, everything that we do, even in our service to Him, is to glorify His name. No other agenda, no other purpose other than to glorify His name. And in that glorification of His name is when we lay up to our account in heaven. See? But unless a grain, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, and He used this as a parable, but yet we can apply it to ourselves. And see, people think, "Well, boy, these messages are hard and you're just too hard on the people." What I'm presenting to you is an opportunity to change your life. And I'm presenting to you an opportunity to not accept things the way they've been in the past. And I'm presenting to you an opportunity to grow up in Christ. You say, well, why should I grow? Because we've been talking about maturity and about growing up and those things. And some of those messages can get really hard, especially if you don't want to grow up and you want to sit there and say, well, I want a pastor that'll hold my hand. And if he's not going to be a pastor to hold my hand and be right there with me to hold my hand, then I don't want him, and I'll find another one. Well, probably you should, but if you'll hang around long enough, I think I can change your mind on that. But see, maturity is growing up to where eventually you're not having to have your hand held, but you're holding some other baby's hand that they may grow up, see? That's the whole idea. But along the way, as we have this death process in ourselves, in that we die to the things that were once important when we were in the world, and the things that our mind is locked up in and our soul thinks important, as we die to those things, then that death process then allows us then to begin to produce fruit in our lives, produce a harvest. But we've got to accept the fact that we're called to grow up. We're called to be mature. See, you know, let me tell you something. John 10:10 says, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly, but the devil, the thief, he came to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, some of you think, well, you know, Carlos is in the hospital with this bag deal and getting that corrected. And, you know, that's no new. We don't hide things around here. I found out, why should you hide things? Everybody's going to know anyhow. Just be up front with it to begin with. And so, you know, he's in there, you know, fighting this. And next time he's confronted with something, he's going to be stronger than he was this time. But anyhow, what do you think the devil's after? His back? Folks, the devil ain't after his back. It ain't after his disc or whatever it is. And I don't even know for sure what it is. But the devil ain't after that. The devil's after what the fruit laid up to the account in heaven, what Carlos can do, what he's called it. He's after his call. See? You think that he's after my body when he put this thing on me and this disease that I'm having to fight? You think that he's after my body? Folks, he's trying to stop the call that God placed on my life and the fruit that'll be laid up to the account in heaven. He's after that. Steal, kill, and destroy. Steal from you. Steal your money. Steal your time. Steal your relationship with God. Kill you if he can. And then and the result then is to destroy your works for God. The end result. He's not after just your body. Doris, he's not after your body. He's after that ministry you two have been called to. That calling upon your life. He's after that. He wants that. And he'll get it anyway. Listen, folks. In case you haven't figured out yet, you know, you say these messages are tough and rough and, boy, I don't know what to do with them part of the time. Let me tell you something. The devil, he's vicious. He don't care about you. He's vicious. He's not going to let off of you. And I see some, and I've seen this over and over the past 10 years, I see some that they think that they can escape it by quitting and quit listening to these messages. And I'm not just talking about mine, but Pastor Dave's and others that preach the same thing. They think, well, I'm going to quit listening to those. I've got to put that away, quit listening to that stuff. Listen, once you get this stuff down inside you, the devil doesn't care about you. He will kill you, because if not, there's a chance that you'll rise again someday and be a threat to him and his kingdom. You can't get away from it. You can run, but you can't hide from this. Once you hear it, once you receive it, and you can't, there's no use, forget it. The devil's vicious. He doesn't like you. He wants to kill you. And when we talk about maturity, we talk about getting in that place that we can head him off, that we can be effective on the earth today and head him off, that he'll not only not kill us and not stop the call on our life, but that he'll not stop us from bringing others around us into heaven. See, maturity is all about being able to head him off, to stop him. First thing, head him off. Stop him in his tracks concerning you and your family. I want to produce people in this church. I don't care about the numbers. I want to produce people in this church. And I can't even ask for a revival until I produce people that will pray. Because without prayer, there is no revival. Forget it. And I want to produce people in this church that can stand and say, get away from my family right now in Jesus' name. Now, when you're young in the Lord and a baby in the Lord, you can say, get away from my family or I'm going to sick my pastor on you. But now there comes a time that won't work. It's called accountability and maturity and growth. And I want to produce the people in this church. They'll stand and say, devil, that's enough. Get back away from my family. You can't touch it any longer. Therefore, heading off the work that he's doing in your life and trying to destroy you. But that's not where it stops. See, we think, well, I stopped the devil. I'm okay. No, you're not okay. And if you don't keep producing and putting out in the kingdom of God, he'll be back, because he'll be back to test your ground anyhow. And when he comes back, what are you going to be doing? Well, you should be on the offensive. You should have some maturity in your life that you're on the offensive, not just heading him off, not just setting and setting up a defense, not just stopping and putting up a wall that the devil can't get in, but you should be on the offensive, see? See, it's better to have a good offensive. If you keep the devil running and keep him busy, he can't attack you too much. Oh, he can try, but it's harder for him. See, you got to come to that place of maturity, of growth, that you can begin an offensive against him. Not just stop him, not just, oh, whew, boy, I made it through that one. I mean, I can think of lots of things over the past 5 years that I knew and told my wife, this is an attack of the devil, and we'll stop him here, and we would stop him and get a relief for a season. Things would be glorious for a season. You know, and it would just look like nothing could go wrong, you know. Plenty of finances for the ministry. Lots of peace. Invitations everywhere, you know. Open doors, you know. Lots of glorious things. And then here he'd come again. So don't think that it's going to stop. But see, we can begin to put on an offensive that changes the battle a little bit. See, we're called into this place to enforce his defeat. He's a defeated foe. And in the past I've told you that, you know, well, you know, the devil is defeated. You need to quit giving him the glory for such stuff. I'm not giving him the glory. I'm just trying to wake people up. We're called to enforce a defeated foe. And he'll rise again if you let him in your life. That doesn't mean he'll rise in my life just because he rises again in yours. But he'll rise again in your life if you let him. It's not just good enough to stop him. You've got to begin an offense. You've got to be offensive about it. I tell my wife, you know, Tulsa, you know, is something else to drive in sometimes, you know. And it's not as bad as Dallas or something like that, or Houston. But it's bad enough at times, especially during rush hour. And you see, when I'd done all the driving, she would get after me because of my driving habits, and I would tell her, I'm an offensive driver. She'd say, you're offensive, all right. But see, I believe we ought to be an offensive driver when it comes to the devil. We're not going to dance to your tune, devil. I got some things in the Word of God that you can dance to. By his stripes, I'm healed. He took my place on the cross and I was delivered from sin. Sin shall not have dominion over me. He took my poverty and replaced it with the riches of heaven. I no longer am subject to that poverty. I don't have to live in shortfalls at the end of the month. See, there's these things in the Word of God that we can enforce his defeat and begin an offensive. And you got to understand, see, we've all been, most of us have been taught that, you know, that a lot of us in here, I can pick out several of you that had it ingrained in you, especially like my wife here, you know, in the past. It's in the Word! It's in the Word! You know, your answer's in the Word! It's in the Word! You know, well, I'm fighting off the devil. Well, it's in the Word! You just need to know the Word. Folks, let me tell you something. It is in the Word. But you can't just know the Word. You can't just know the Word. You've got to know the truth in the Word. For it's the truth that'll set you free. And then you've got to begin to walk this truth out. You can't just know of it. You can't just know the Word. You can't just know the truth. If you know it, then you're a setting duck for the devil. Well, there's somebody, and I recognize that they know some truth. I better cut them down at the knees right now. If I don't, something may get loose, and they may cause a revival in some city in western Kansas or something. I better go after them. You little imps over there, I can spare you if you get destroyed, and I'm not worried about it. I'll send you over there. Discouragement, you go and discourage them. Religion, you go and bind their minds up. Stop them in their tracks before they go any farther. Make them feel like it's just okay. They're saved, so it's okay. Just sit there on the pew. You're giving too much glory to the devil. No, I'm telling you of your enemy, that you're called to enforce his defeat. And it's not just good enough to know the Word of God. You've got to begin to walk out the Word of God. You've got to begin to walk in it, walk it out, apply it in your life, begin to walk it, begin to make it a way of life, see. And it starts with prayer. It starts with a Saturday morning all-church prayer. See, actually, to be quite honest, I mean, we come together in prayer on that Saturday once a month, all-church prayer, and we think we're going to move something, and all we're doing is moving ourselves into a place that God can use us. And it starts by getting prayer embedded in our life. And that's what those Tuesday nights and those Saturdays are really designed to do. If you say, well, I don't have much of a prayer life, and to be quite honest, I don't have much of a desire for it. Well, come to those prayer sessions and sit there. I don't feel like praying. So I don't care. Just come and sit there. You don't have to. Just come and sit there. Don't worry about it. Well, what good is that? Well, just come. Don't worry about it. Let me, you know, just do what I say now and believe me later. Just come and sit in those prayer sessions. Let me show you something here in the Word of God. Two things here. Let me look it up, see where I want you to go first. Okay, I figured it out. Ephesians chapter 4. See, we got to begin to look at things differently. And some of us have been trained thoroughly and brainwashed thoroughly to just look at it. Well, I'm saved, and it's okay if I just stay saved and be a good little person and sit here in the pew. Yeah, you'll make it to heaven, folks. I know you'll make it to heaven. I'm not trying to take your salvation away from you. But I'm telling you that there's more to it. And I'm telling you that God intended for us to enforce the defeat of Satan until Jesus' return. And through that enforce of his defeat is where you lay up to your account in heaven. And there is no other way to lay up to that account other than enforcing the defeat of Satan. You say, how do I do that? Win souls. Get people healed. Take them on from salvation and farther on. Lead them by the hand until they can stand on their own. But that takes maturity. You have to grow up first yourself. And some people, they'll refuse to grow up because they don't want to change their petty doctrines and their flaky doctrines. Folks, if you haven't learned by now, if a person comes to you and they're just floating around woo, woo, woo in the spirit and stuff like that, folks, that doesn't mean they're spiritually mature. It means that they're flaky. Spiritual maturity you'll see in honest love, the God kind of love. Love that cares enough to give their life to you that you grow up and be able to stop the devil yourself. See? That's when love really cares about you. The kind of love that'll save your life, that maybe you don't need it right now, but what if you get down the road and they diagnose you with cancer? What if you get down the road and they diagnose you with diabetes? Are you going to be ready? Let me tell you something. The devil's vicious. He can give an onslaught. And if there's anything in your mind, any weakness in your soul, he will grab a hold of it and he will twist and turn and make you believe that there's not even a God. He's vicious. He doesn't care. He wants to destroy us. But I got good news. My Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly, and that we can enforce the defeat of Satan. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Now he gave this fivefold for the equipping of the saints. Well, I'm just going to be equipped. Well, praise God, Pastor, that you're equipping me this morning. I'm sure glad you took time out to come up here to Ulysses and equip me this past year. I praise God, I feel more equipped. Don't you feel more equipped? Glenn, don't you feel more equipped? I feel more equipped. I feel like instead of one sword, I got two. Of course, I can't lift the other one. But I am more equipped. I can't get it out of the scabbard, Glenn, but I do. I am more equipped. Well, I just praise God, Pastor, that you give us these messages on Sunday morning to equip us. I'm just happy about it. Thank God that the fivefold is called to equip. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Say, I'm a saint. Say, I'm a saint. I want to hear everybody. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. You're talking about the fivefold, aren't you, when you say the work of the ministry? You know, you do it, Pastor. No, you do it, teacher. No, you're a prophet. You're the mighty prophet. You do it. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. See there, Pastor, it says that the fivefold. You as a pastor, you're fivefold. You should go door to door. You ought to go down there at the hospital and hold everybody's hand. See there, it says for the work of the ministry. No, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry that the saints are able to do because they're equipped. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can't just be equipped. Praise God, Bruce. I'm equipped. Bruce, sing me a song. I'm equipped. You know, I don't know what to do with it, but I am equipped. Now, Flora, she's equipped. Spiritually and in the natural, she carries her cane with her, and it's to beat the devil off. So she's equipped. But Floss knows what to do with the cane. If the devil comes around in the natural, she'll beat him with the cane. She knows what to do with it. And on the spiritual side, she knows what to do. She's equipped there. She knows to hit her knees and begin to pray. Loved ones, you're not going to hell because I'm not going to let you. My sister, you're not going to hell. I'm not going to let you. You're going to be saved. I call you saved. I've been equipped to do this, to call you saved. I've been equipped to make sure that you don't go to hell, that you go to heaven. Juanita, she's equipped. Those little ones back there, they just love her. Yeah. I usually turn my cell phone off before I come in here, so I know it's not mine. Throw that thing over in the corner. Church services are not a time for phones. I keep telling them that. Just take the phone off the hook during the service. See, you can be equipped, but the equipped comes for the work of the ministry, for us to do something, see. To do something about the devil. To do something before he makes the attack. To become offensive toward him. To begin the attack against him. Against his darkness. Against his kingdom. See. Let's read on right quick. For the edifice, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Don't you get edified when you see the devil destroyed? When you see the devil stopped in his tracks and he has to leave Carlos alone from this point on, aren't you going to be edified? I'm going to be edified. I'm already edified because I'm looking ahead. See, there's something, you know, we've the Word of God, Pastor, It's in the Word of God. You got to know the Word of God. Well, I tell you, folks, there's been a lot of people that knew the Word of God that died and went to heaven way, way too early. They knew the Word of God. They even confessed the Word of God. And they went to heaven too early. See, you can't use confession of the Word of God without an image of what it's going to be. God even worked in images. And you've got to have the image. The Word of God without the image won't change nothing. You can confess and confess, but until you change that image, your confession will do no good. See, I'm already edified because I already see ahead. I already have an image of somebody by the name of Carlos Garza finishing their ministry. That's the image I have. See? I'm not waiting to see the manifestation. If you don't mind, I think I'll go ahead and be edified. I see the image ahead of time. I'm not waiting for the manifestation of it. So it's for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Man, I tore my Bible up in this session. See, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And he's talking about in that day that we will finally come to that stature. But in the meantime, it's still that you have the knowledge of the Son of God and be attaining to that, be reaching for that step by step. And in verse 14, that we know that we should no longer be children. Well, if you had any doubts in your mind that he wanted you to grow up, that should have took care of it right there. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro. See, if you're children, you can be brought about here, you can be led there, you can be led here, you can be led over there, you can be led here. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies according to effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The end result should be the God kind of love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. You should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. You should no longer walk as you once walked. Like the rest of the Gentiles, like what you once were. We were all once Gentiles until we got saved. That you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. And how do they walk, Pastor? In the futility of their mind. So, well, I'd like to have that explained a little bit more. I'm glad you would. Turn with me right quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll wind it up here and pick it up again later. It's not just knowing the truth, but it's taking the truth and walking in the truth that you have. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We're equipped to pull down the strongholds. And we have spiritual weapons to pull down the strongholds, casting down arguments. Folks, where does an argument start? I mean, it ends up in your mouth. If you argue with your wife, if my wife and I argue, which we occasionally do, where does it start at? It starts in the mind. The argument starts in the mind, then it manifests through the mouth. And yes, in the heart. But let's just say in the mind, because a lot of it are arguments in the mind. Your mind is arguing back and forth, and even at times you catch yourself agreeing with it. With no amens, but I know by the shaking of heads it's true. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Say, you got this futility in your mind that is worth nothing. You got this in your mind that amounts to nothing, that will result in no fruit. It will not produce fruit. But when this death process begins, this mortification, this death process begins, and you begin to offer yourself over to the Holy Spirit that death process can begin, then you've started on that path that the renewing of your mind can begin, and that through that then you can begin to pull down the strongholds in this process of death with the Holy Spirit involved, can begin to pull down these strongholds in your mind. What strongholds? Whatever the stronghold is that is keeping you from your inheritance in the equipping of the saints. What is it for you? Is it not believing in healing, that God still heals? Is it a belief or a doctrine that has locked your mind up that causes you to stay in poverty all your life and not prosper, therefore you're neutralized in your call, therefore you haven't become equipped, and even if you had, you wouldn't be able to do it because you're neutralized with that thought of poverty that God didn't pour down prosperity that you could have it? Oh, He did for some, but He didn't for me. He called me to a vow of poverty. No, you're locked up in a stronghold in the mind. It'll keep you there. You'll never be able to finish your call, and therefore when you get to heaven, nothing will be laid up to your account because you were neutralized by that stronghold in your mind. What stronghold is it that you need pulled down in your mind that would keep you from walking like that you need pulled down in your mind that would keep you from walking like the Gentiles walk? What good is it, folks, if we're going to walk like the Gentiles walk, other than the fact that we get to go to heaven? But what good is it? We can't be a witness to anyone if we're going to walk like they walk. I mean, people need to see a difference. And they need to see a true difference and a lasting difference, one that will endure. And they don't need to see a flaky difference. See, folks, I pray in tongues probably more than you all in here. I'm going to throw it out there. I'll probably get some feedback. Pastor, I beg to differ. Well, I hope so. I hope there's those in here that pray in tongues more than I do. But you know, even though I push the prayer message and I say we can't have a church of mature people without prayer, you've got to begin to get involved in prayer. Even I know that prayer language was intended for your own personal prayer closet. That through that, the mortification process can begin. The edification process can come into play. And then your plan that God has for your life can begin to be activated in your life. And your equipping for that plan can begin. And then you knowing how to carry out with that equipping what He's called you to do. All of that begins in that prayer closet, see. I'm not too much on those flaky individuals that give the Holy Spirit a bad name. Just woo-wooing about, you know, making Him something that He's not. How are you going to present a witness, an image? Oh, I'd like to be that person. I wonder what their secret is. They're always so strong, and it seems like every time the devil comes and they have a problem, it seems like they just beat him back royally and cut his head off. I wonder what their secret is. I never see them going around floating on some cloud. I never see them being lazy. They're always on their job, doing a better job than everybody else. I never see them refusing to work. I wonder what their secret is. And boy, it seems like every time I turn around and when I'm in church, they're giving in every offering that comes along. How can they have that much money? I wonder what their secret is. Maybe it's that prayer closet behind closed doors. Maybe it's that coming in and sitting down 4 hours once a Saturday, once a month on a Saturday. Tuesday night, 7 to 9. I wonder what their secret is. I'd sure like to be like them. Well, what a witness. Maybe I can be like them someday. It's not in the Wheaties. Go ahead, Bruce. Thank you, Father. Satan's devices are in the mind. The strongholds are in the mind. Our weapons are to pull down those strongholds in the mind. If you're falling short in some area, believe me, I preach to myself just as much as to you all. There's a shortfall in your life. There's a stronghold that needs pulled down. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Well, we're just going to get down there in the floor and spit and gravel and grumble and pray and slobber, throw up in the bucket a couple of times. No. You'll get behind closed doors. God, get this thing off of me. God, I don't want to be short in faith in any area. You're the author and the finisher of my faith. You are faith, God. Oh, I seek you out. I know that I'll have faith if I seek you out. I know that you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. Him. God, I seek you. I want your faith. I want you more every day. I want you more every day, God. I know that if I seek you first in your kingdom, your right standing, all this other will be added unto me. I know that if I seek your face, I want you more every day, God. If I seek your face, it'll change my world, God. It'll change my world. It'll change your world, won't it, Sandy, Chuck? It'll change your world. You guys, it's a lot different than a year ago. It's a lot different. You stay on this track a year from now, it's going to be a lot different. Myoya. It's a lot different than a year ago. Ask her. It's a lot different than a year ago, Myoya. It's better than a year ago. You're stronger. Yes, see? Stronger. Is it different than a year ago, Glenn? Stand with me, please. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you're here this morning and you knew Him, but you feel like, man, He's a million miles away. You know, I just, sometimes I don't even feel like He's around or anything. Pastor, let me move this over here. I need some of it later. I just don't know, Pastor. I just feel like sometimes He's not here at all. If that's you, if that fits you, actually I feel like probably everyone in here is saved. I feel like, man, He's a million miles away. I just don't know what to say. I feel so dry. I feel so dry. I feel like He's a million miles away. I don't know. Pastor, I don't know what to do. I tell you what to do. Get out of that chair where you're at. Come right up front up here. We're going to change that in a split second. That anointing will come on. It'll break the yoke. It'll break the yoke off of you. It'll begin to pull down that stronghold in the mind, that argument that says that God don't like you anymore. God don't like you anymore. He can't use you. Because of your past, He can't use you. That argument is trying to exalt itself above God. That anointing from God will destroy that yoke. It'll have to leave and you'll be free of it. If that's you, don't be fearful and intimidated. Get up here. Come up here. Bruce, I'd like to do that. I need you more every day. You do that, please. It's been a while since we've done that. I'll give you a little time. If that's you, if that fits you, come up here. I feel dry, Pastor. I feel like God's a million miles away. We're going to do this song. I love this song because I do. I need Him more every day. I'd be stupid to think I could go on without Him. I need Him more every day. I need Him more today than yesterday, because the enemy likes me less today than he liked me yesterday. But he didn't like me at all then. He likes me even less now. He likes you less today than he did last Sunday. Why? Because you got revealed to you. You got revealed to you some more of his tactics, some more of what he'll do, some more of what he's after. Folks, he's not after your kids. He's not after your body. He's not after your money. He's after that reward to stop you from laying up a reward in heaven. And that's all part of that reward, but that's what he's after. It's what you can do for the kingdom of God. Are you going to let him do it? Are you going to just lay down and let him do it? I'm going to be gone to this conference this week. You say, well, Pastor, does that mean then that I should show up for prayer on Tuesday night? Yes, little believer, it does. You should show up. It does not matter that the pastor is not here. Your maturity is measured by what you can do standing on your own 2 feet, yielding that sword of the Spirit. Be offensive. Be like my wife calls me behind the wheel. Be offensive to the devil. Be offensive to the devil. Don't just stop him. Go after him. Track him down. Because if you don't, folks, he'll track you down. Track him down. Grow up. Get mature. That when he comes to your household, like he came to Doris's, like he came to mine, when he comes to your household, you're ready. You're ready for the onslaught. It's an onslaught, isn't it, Doris? The mind, it's an onslaught. She knows what I'm talking about. Go ahead, Bruce, lead us in that. And if that's you today, you just need, man, I'm dry. I don't know where God's at. Help me, Pastor. I don't know where God's at. Just be honest with yourself and come up here while we're doing this song. Go ahead, Bruce.